Welcome to the house of the Lord. We have a beautiful prelude that is planned for the opening of our worship service, and I invite you all now to pray with me as Sarah and Heather play. Thank you. Beautiful. We all need that movement of transition as we come in off of the busy streets and the activities of the morning and the preparation of children and helping them get to church on time. Children of all ages that need help getting to church on time. Thank you, Heather and Sarah and Charles as well. As we begin worship, we think about the activities that are going on in the life of the church, and some of you know that there is a small group from Cook's Memorial, small being two of us, Gay, List, and I, will be tripping to Kajiado, into Nairobi, Kenya, and then on down to Kajiado to spend a week with the children in the Hope for Kajiado orphanage. The children are always welcoming of any kinds of gifts, and the one specific gift we're collecting are new packages of underwear. So children 5 to 16, male or female, if you could bring some briefs to church for us to take to the kids there, they will love you for that. One other thing to know, in the beginning of worship, we are collecting the welcoming the people that have come to worship today. So please take those green friendship pads that are in the center aisle, record your presence, and be able to talk to the people around you. Let them know of your welcome, and especially welcome all visitors. There are always, you never know when you might have a visitor, and there's a very special visitor in the house this morning. It is my mother. Clarice Thompson is here right behind Johnny, and I know that you will want to greet her. Many of you have met her so far, and say hello to Clarice, my mom. Are there other announcements that we need to share? I know Graham is away this week, but this Tuesday, yes, is the Presbytery meeting. We will host the Presbytery of Charlotte here at Cook's Memorial. We being four churches, Pleasant Grove, Robinson, Newell, and of course Cook's Memorial. We expect 150 to 170 people. If you want lunch, you need to make that reservation immediately tomorrow, but we also have planned for extra. The lunch will be served at 12:30 in Fellowship Hall, but to get to lunch, you need to come to worship, and worship will be right about 11 o'clock in the sanctuary. The preacher is the Reverend Catherine Kerr, who's on staff at First Presbyterian, and her text is from Exodus, and she will be preaching about when the people of God brought too much to the church. They gave too much. So we all need to hear what she has to say about that. And we will celebrate communion and open the doors for that, anyone. James, please. 8 o'clock to help direct vehicles. If you can help James follow that lead. Please, David.
Mission ministry meeting today, following service.
Right after church, mission meeting in room 113. Yes.
Next Sunday is 9 o'clock yoga for the youth and the young at heart that want to participate. It's a lot of fun.
Fourth Sunday, next week, room 213, down the hall and on the second floor. Right there in the middle. And you might have the aroma of some incense that would draw you to that room. It's worth attending. I believe that those are all of our announcements, and we will be led by Ben as he... Did I get that right? Yes. Okay. Ben is leading us in the psalm. Please turn to Psalm 143 and let us read responsively.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above.
Praise him, all of his angels. Praise him, all of his heavenly hosts.
Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars.
Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the skies.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created.
He set them in place forever and ever. He gave a decree that will never pass away.
Thank you.
We are called with our opening eyes to open them even wider as God's truth is revealed to us. We are called to reveal and to review our own lives as God's challenging us to reconsider our humanity. In that call, we make our prayer together as one body. Merciful God, you give us the gifts of life and love, and yet sometimes we seem to waste them. You put people into our lives who love us, but we can be uncaring toward them. We can say hurtful things. Our actions are not always kind. Our patience is often absent. Forgive us, we pray. Help us be kind and caring as Jesus taught us. As we pray in his name, amen. And in the name of Jesus and into the family of Jesus, we are baptized, washing away all of our sins, all of our behaviors, even sometimes unbeknownst to us, that have been hurting to others. But in this washing, we are given new life. We are given promise and hopefulness of walking forth as new creatures in the gift of this day. And in that walking, we sign and we give and exchange a sign of peace with one another. Because we are the body of Christ, we also share peace with the sister churches in our presbytery and light this candle in the connection with them. And we'll be even gathering around them physically this Tuesday. But as we are together as children and brothers and sisters now, let us share that peace of Christ with one another. The peace of the Lord be with you.
Good morning. Our Old Testament scripture reading is from Isaiah chapter 49, verses 1 through 6, on page 726. Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my birth, he has made mention of my name. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. He said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will display my splendor." And I said, "I have labored to no purpose. I have spent my strength in vain and for nothing. Yet what is due me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with my God." And now the Lord says, "He who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself. For I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength." He says, "It is too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth." God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Thank you.
Would all the children come forward? Good morning. Oh, your dress is so pretty. Everybody looks so shiny in spring. I love your glasses. You look awesome. Oh, hello. Good morning. Oh, let's say that again. I want to say it as loud as you possibly can see. I want to hear you. Good morning.
Good morning.
We'll take it. We'll take it. Oh, my gosh. Do you see it? Do you think there's a dinosaur in this church?
Yes.
You guys, here, can you see it close? Look in there. See if you can find him. Can you find him?
It's right there.
He is?
I can see it.
You can see him? Isn't that silly? Luke, why don't you go grab it? Why don't you go ahead and grab it?
No,
we'll have Luke do it. We'll have Luke. There we go. Do you think the impossible, do you think we can go fishing in this church? Do you think that's possible?
No.
No?
It has a floor.
Why don't you come with me, sweetie?
I have a fishing pole, and I bet you there's something attached. I don't know. Grab it. Grab it. Oh, my gosh. We're going to go.
Oh. What do we got? We got something. Oh, wait. Oh. What? A flamingo in church? Is that possible? Is that? That's silly, isn't it?
No.
All right. Today's lesson, we were being silly. This was just for fun. But today's lesson is about the impossible and making the impossible possible. Today's lesson, yeah, I know. Today's lesson is going to come from a section of the Bible called Acts. And it's about the importance of loving and reaching out to others, including those who are different than us. And sometimes we get caught up in the rules and the roles that we assign to ourselves or others, but that kind of gets us in the way of doing the most basic thing. And it's really about being kind to others and sharing the love of Jesus. And that's our love and our compassion to others are more important than sometimes the rules. But do you have rules that you follow? How many of you like rules? You do? Nobody raised their hand. What are some rules that you have at home? Back there, the quiet section. What are some rules you have at home?
If you make a mess, clean it up.
If you make a mess, clean it up. That's right. Who else has a... Feed the dogs every morning. Do you guys have to make your bed?
Yeah.
Yep, that's a rule too. Do we? What's your rule?
To clean my room.
I know. Isn't that a hard? That's the hardest one. I used to hide stuff under my bed. Do you do that?
I do.
Do you do that? You both do that.
I put all my stuff in the toy.
These rules are. You know. Go ahead, Luke.
You do your chores.
Do your chores. And they're kind of like rules. One more.
You do your homework before you can play with your friends.
Homework before times with friends. And these rules are, these are important. One more, Aiden.
I don't have any rules.
Okay. You have rules. These rules are important. Rules are important because they keep us ordered. They keep us organized. They kind of teach us how we should do things, the right things. But sometimes when we focus on the rules, that we kind of lose picture sometimes of some things. But do you remember who Peter was in the Bible? Peter? Well, a long time ago, he was on a rooftop. So everybody kind of stand up on the rooftop. We're on a rooftop. And he looked up and he had this vision. And it was really a kind of a crazy vision. It was the sheet came down. So picture a big parachute coming down and landing over us. So let's all bend down. And he looked up and he saw a whole bunch of animals in the sheet. He saw wild beasts. He saw fish. He saw reptiles, snakes. He saw birds. Yes. You are so smart. That's absolutely right. He said pigs and there were certain things like ducks and pigs that were unhealthy foods that you couldn't eat. And that was actually right. You're right on time. You are so smart. But anyway, Peter was, he had to follow the Jewish rules of the church, which were very strict. You could only eat certain things. And so the vision of these animals and God saying, eat them, Peter, eat them, as he was looking into the sheet, he had this vision three times. And he's like, what? It doesn't make sense. But then you know, the leaders of the church were a little bit upset, but he was confused because they were not the animals he was supposed to eat. And so then he heard the voice of God to remind him that everything made from God is pure, so that it was okay to eat other food. And then the Holy Spirit led him to talk with many people that were not like him. So they weren't following the rules that he had to eat certain things. So they were called the Gentiles. They were the non-Jewish people. And so he started talking with them, and he realized that the important thing that the Holy Spirit was trying to tell him was that God and Jesus' message was simple. It was about grace, compassion, and reaching out to others and listening to them and talking with them and having dinner and just listening and talking with them. So it was kind of okay to not follow those rules. The rules are important. We want to stress that too. You have no rules. I bet you you do. But so let's celebrate this message and let's all try harder. Do you think we could do something better in school as school comes to an end? That maybe we could, what can we do in school at lunch hour to kind of reach out to some of our friends to kind of do the message that is in today's, yes, what can you do?
You can eat healthy foods.
That's true. Healthy foods. And maybe, is there somebody that maybe you can sit next to at lunch that maybe doesn't have a friend or might need a friend?
Yeah.
Yeah. Give me a thumbs up. I love that. So, to celebrate this message, let's all try harder to be a friend, to listen, to clean our rooms, to help our mom and dad, maybe write a note to somebody unexpected or somebody that's just not like us. But it's in these actions, not the words, that lead us to God's grace. So you have homework today and this week. In fact, everybody in the church has homework. We ask that you do something unexpected for something or someone. And so that's everybody's homework today, to make an effort to do something nice for someone unexpected. So I think that's a good message, more than focusing on the rules, you know, and making sure that we follow the rules. We get lost in the message. So let's make the message to be kind to others, okay? So let us pray. Dear God, dear God, we thank you for the rules that guide us and keep us on track. But we promise to never lose track of your overall plan, which is to be kind and love others like Jesus. Amen. Okay. I think we have children's school upstairs. No? Okay, you can go back and sit with your parents. Thank you. You guys are awesome. Good job. Wait a minute. I have something for you. Do not open these in church. You can open them after. Everybody gets pixie sticks to kind of remind them. Pixie sticks. There we go. These are pixie sticks, but do not open them in church. You got to wait till after, okay? Yeah, you can. Oh, yes, you can. And Kinsley, you get to keep the flamingo. There we go. Did you get one, sweetie?
Thank you, Sherry, and all the youth. I was seeing her get a couple of those things set up earlier, and I realized what scripture she was about to illustrate, and I thought she was going to ask us if we would eat dinosaur or pink flamingo, but I'm glad we don't have to eat them. We just have to include them. Yes, we've had a wonderful introduction to this passage from the book of Luke's Acts that Luke has given to us, a story about the spreading of the good news as it goes out into the world. So I invite you to hear this reading, verses 1 through 18 on chapter 11 of Acts. Let us hear a word from the Lord. The apostles and the brothers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, "You went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them." Peter began and explained everything to them precisely as it had happened. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to where I was. I looked into it and saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, and birds of the air. Then I heard a voice telling me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' I replied, 'Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' The voice spoke from heaven a second time, 'Do not call anything impure that God has made, because God has made it clean.' This happened three times, and then it was all pulled up to heaven again. Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So if God gave them the same gift as he gave us, who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could oppose God?" When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, "So then, God has granted even unto the Gentiles repentance unto life." A word from the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And now, O Lord, may all the words and meditations of all of our mouths and hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I realize there are a few of you know that I've actually been on vacation for a few days. I went to Akron, Ohio for the medical school graduation of my youngest niece. And wonderfully, my mother, who was happy to have her sixth grandchild graduate from medical school and now is Dr. Kristen Cannon, was a great celebration that we enjoyed yesterday and the past couple of days. But as you might imagine, too, there was a lot of eating going on, and we had opportunity to be at my sister's home where she served dinner to 10 people. And these 10 people happen to be a very diverse group of people. Some of us are related because we belong to the family. Others of us have married into the family, and there are lots of children, and there was even a new boyfriend on the scene that some of us were meeting for the first time. We were four generations. We were Republicans, Democrats, and I think that's as far as it goes. We were progressive and moderate and conservative. We were Baptist and Methodist and Presbyterian, non-denominational, and nobody knows yet about the boyfriend. We were a body of just 10 people, but one of those people is a one-year-old. She'll be one in about 2 weeks. And I was commenting to the parents what a good job they're doing of helping this child develop healthy eating habits at age one. They still have control. And this child is eating lots of fruits and vegetables, all kinds of healthy things. And they have not yet introduced her to any fabricated sweets. No cookies, no cakes, no candy, nothing sweet yet. But she's a great eater of fruits and vegetables. My husband says it's because she doesn't realize that her taste buds are in her eyes. We know what that means. But the idea that she was eating all these foods was really kind of remarkable, and the fact that she liked vegetables. And then her father said, well, I don't like some vegetables, and I never ever thought I would like to eat cauliflower until I had cauliflower pizza. Have you? Yeah, ooh. And I thought, and he thought too, he said, you didn't realize the crust was made out of cauliflower. And if he had known that, he probably wouldn't eat it. And so I was a little surprised. So I Googled it, and cauliflower pizza dough is a thing now. You can find it on all kinds of websites, and health food restaurants and restaurants in Charlotte will serve you cauliflower dough pizza if you request. So look out next time we have a potluck. I have to try it and see if it works. We like the idea when it is amusing about doing something different. We like the idea of being surprised by something that lifts our spirit and gives us a new food to eat or a new song to sing or a new person to welcome into the family. All of those things that give us delight are inspiring. They are uplifting and give us joy. The people that knew that Peter had eaten and baptized Gentiles were not so approving. I know that it was a surprise to Peter at first as well, because he said, "No, Lord, I don't eat those things. Don't ask me to break the rules to eat them now." I like what Brian Peterson, who's a Lutheran pastor in Columbia, South Carolina, had to say about this. I think he will relate. He wrote, "Borders, barriers, and identity seem to be prominent not only in recent news, but were true even for the people of Jesus' day. Crossing borders, opening boundaries, accepting people that were different from them was strange and uncomfortable." And he said, though, today, whether those convictions focus on borders that should be erected or maintained, or on borders that ought to be thrown into the scrap heap of history, any action which challenges those convictions seems guaranteed to get a strong reaction, which is precisely what Peter got from the church in Jerusalem. Sharing a table with other people holds great power. We know what it's like to share a table with our friends and neighbors. We know what it is like to open the doors to a big meal where we know we'll have abundant and delicious food. And we know that when we welcome people that come into our community, that it's a joy to be able to offer them that kind of hospitality. We are good at offering hospitality. We are good at sharing what we know. We feel stretched sometimes to be asked to share more than what we are used to doing. One thing struck me about all of the passages we have read this morning. I don't know if you caught it when Ben read that piece about the people and the places and the heavens that God is asking everyone to pray. God is asking all of them to praise God. And God says, "Praise me, even the waters above the heavens." Did that surprise you? Did you hear the waters above the heavens? We sort of have this image that the heavens are above the waters. But it was interesting to me in my first semester of Hebrew language when I was studying with Dr. Drinkard at Louisville Seminary. He said the early concept of the way the heavens are ordered is the way we used to draw them when we were in first grade. We would draw a strip of blue sky across the top of the paper, and then we'd draw a strip across the bottom of the paper that was green grass, and then on top of the grass we would build the houses and the mountains and everything that goes on the earth. But above the sky, there was never anything but the heavens. And the idea that the Hebrew people in the early tradition thought that there was even life above God was real. They knew that even above the heavens there was new life and different life. And did you catch it in Isaiah when just converting one set of people was not enough for God? God says, I'm not coming just to the people of Israel. I'm coming for the people of the four corners of the earth. I'm coming for the people of the universe. I'm coming for all people. And it is our call to welcome all people. We are a body of witnesses that are called to be those surprised sometimes, like Peter was, when God said, eat that food. What I have made is not unclean. And when we have to translate that into welcome those people, we get stuck with those people because they are different from us. Those people are not like us. And we don't understand what it means to welcome them at our communion table, at our buffet of hospitality. I wish it were so easy as trying cauliflower pizza dough. I wish it were so easy as fishing and finding things that were new in life that gave us happy surprises. The struggle is upon us now to figure out how, when the surprises aren't happy, what do we do to honor the humanity in another person? What do we do to believe that person is created in the image of God? We know baptism waters are for the people of the church, but when Peter was confronted by the eunuch on the way to the city, they said, "What is to prevent me from being baptized?" Peter, in following the rules, would have said, "I need to get permission from the church. I need to talk to somebody before I can say yes." I, as your interim pastor, follow that rule when somebody calls to ask to use our space or to wonder about what it's like, what it would be like for a different kind of mission. I need to say, I don't have that power, and I don't. But you do. You, the people of this church, are the ones who have to consider, and there are times to say no. There are times that it is not healthy, or the cost would be greater than the good that would be greater than the good that would come from it. But we have to begin to wonder, when we are focused on our short-sightedness, are we saying no to the call God gives us? Are we anxious about what change might bring? Transition is a hard stage to endure. But transition is a stage that is meant to take us into something different. I don't have the answers for this congregation. But you as a body who pray like Peter, who pray like Jesus, who act on love, will know what to do when the time comes to be considering something outside of the bounds. I have a lot of trust in the Holy Spirit. I know that whenever I've gone to General Assembly meetings and people are camped out in their corners and they're trying to influence the vote of what's going to happen, that there's a lot of contention in the air. I remember being a commissioner to Detroit in 2014, and we left that General Assembly after a lot of contentious conversation. We left singing, "They shall go out in joy. They shall clap their hands." And the person behind me, as we were walking out singing that hymn, said, "We couldn't have sung that hymn last year at the last General Assembly. We could not have said those things." Our church, our great church, is struggling. It is on the edge of new things and worried about doing the wrong thing. As long as we stay worried about doing the wrong thing, we might miss doing the right thing. Pray first. Listen well. Use your heart. You love this church. There's not one of you here today that isn't totally dedicated and committed to the good of this body. That makes me so proud of you. We're on an edge. We might need to make a leap of faith. We might need to stay put. Listen before you vote. Amen. As we prepare to pray, I remember that there is a yellow poster board right outside the door in the narthex there that has an invitation for anyone who would like to participate in the day, the 30 days of prayer. Cook's Memorial Presbyterian Church is going to be one of the churches praying for safety and a sense of direction about what might support our first responders in their ability to keep safety. That has come from the realization that homicides is at an unreasonable number this year, and the churches are being called to pray. So for 30 minutes, we're going to have a 12-hour period from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., and if any of you would like to be one of the praying people for 30 minutes, either in the parlor or in your home, please put your name next to the 30 minutes that you will claim. And the day that Cook's Memorial Presbyterian Church has been assigned is Friday, May 31st. So if you have 30 minutes at any point of that day that you can pray for direction about how to reduce the violence in our city, that is the call. What other prayers do we have as we come together to pray? Prayer concerns or joys?
Heather, please. Do you know his name, Heather?
I think it's Brian.
Brian. Oh, Jane's son.
Jody McKay.
Jody McKay's son.
Remember McKay.
And we are happy that Charles is here. Charles has been ill this week himself, had walking pneumonia, and fortunately got some of the good antibiotics and is here. But Kay Matthews, Charles' wife, had surgery for a disconnected retina, unattached retina this week, Tuesday. Or anyway, Kay Matthews, we will hold her in prayer as well. Please, Connie, yes.
My brother had a massive
stroke
this week.
Wow. Brother Tony. Okay. Thank you, Connie. So sorry. Is he home is he in the hospital? Hospital still. Sorry. Yes, Leah.
My grandma's best friend, I call her Aunt Elsa. She had cancer once. She fought it off because she had it.
One of Leah's best friends, her grandma's best friend, who Leah calls Aunt Elsa, had a condition of cancer and was clear for a while, and now it has returned. Leah's grandmother's friend. Petey, please.
My goddaughter flew in from Denver, Colorado, to see about her father, who's in ICU in Albemarle. His name is Ronnie Parton.
Ronnie Parton, Petey's...
My goddaughter's father.
Goddaughter's father. Petey's goddaughter's father is in the hospital. Please, Susanna.
A co-worker that was diagnosed last week with stage 4 ovarian cancer.
Susanna has a co-worker just diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. Luke, please. Okay, Luke's good friend in the neighborhood, his dog has died.
Riley,
who sings sometimes, Riley's dog, Roscoe. I see your hand, yes, sir. Aiden's neighborhood has been losing cats. And Aiden, is your cat is gone too?
Yeah.
Okay. Pets are very, very special. Yeah. Sherry, please.
A coworker's father-in-law died, and the whole family's struggling. He was a Cook County police officer, just retired, and they found him dead in his home. Natural causes, but they're all devastated.
One of Sherry's coworker found. Their father was found dead in their home from a massive heart attack. And, of course, all are grieving. Beverly, yes.
I have a praise.
A praise, yes.
He called me Thursday morning, and he said, Grandma, can you do me a favor? And I said, well, sure. And he said, will you tell those church people thank you for the cards?
This is from Cody, Bev's grandson. Tell those church people thank you for the cards. You church people, thank you. From Cody. Thank you. And yes, please, Sherry.
He's got married yesterday, Becca, so we're happy in the Cook family. So we couldn't be there, but in Ohio. So we were celebrating with them with all the technology. So made it possible. So.
Sherry was vicariously present for her niece's wedding yesterday, and all the family is happy. Nan, I saw your hand.
I got a job.
Nan has a new job. Oh.
A much better environment than which you were. That's good. Yes. Oh. Oh, Nan is going to be a dog whisperer. Oh, we need her. I feel like there may be more things, but I also feel like we want to bring all of this together and let us put this at the throne of God. We know at your feet, O Lord, there is a place of learning. There is a place of sadness and tears and loss. And there is a place for smiles and laughter and joy and celebration. And we know that our lives are touched by this full extreme of life and death, of newness and celebration and grief and bewilderment at loss. Sometimes loss is sudden. Sometimes it comes after long illnesses. Sometimes we are hit in the face with a new diagnosis that we have not expected to return again. Sometimes, dear God, we lose our pets who are like our children or our dear family members as well. In all these experiences, both tragic and life debilitating in illnesses and sudden heart attacks and strokes and diseases and surgeries, in all these things, we know that you walk with us, that you surround us in your loving arms, and you help us even move across this abyss of life into your eternal glory. We are walking that path every day, and we never know what might change. But we do know that your love is constant, that your love we can trust, and we can put solid, enduring faith in your redeeming care. And for all of these persons we have named, whether they be goddaughters, grandmothers, or family relatives, immediate, or workers, co-workers that have become like family members because we sit beside them all day, we know that your love brings us together, and we are also able to look up and say, I will be with you through this. We know too, O God, that we have celebrations. We know that there are graduations occurring around us every place, in high school and third grade and from kindergarten up and from universities and medical schools. We know that that sense and that trail of knowledge that children and teenagers and young adults have followed will lead to graduation celebrations, and families will celebrate, and the one who has completed that sense of study will take a deep sigh of relief. Thank you for those accomplishments and for the amazing work our high school seniors and all the youth did here at this church last Sunday, celebrating and sharing how much this church has meant to their faith development and how much they treasure the friendship and the support and the discipline and the teaching that comes from this core of your body. And we celebrate for Nan and her new job. We know the daily rigors of work, and when we're struggling to get up out of bed to go to work, that makes all of life pretty miserable. But we are knowing that even that has been temporary, and that we will walk into a new life and a new position, and we are celebrating that with Nan today. Guide us in the work of this week. Help us as we are the host of the presbytery to be faithful members of what needs to happen, and we are confident that the business and the ministry of how we are connected will be supported. Guide us in all that we do and say this week. Bring us together every time that we are together in the name of your Son to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
I'm to bring a ministry update from the Christian Education Ministry, and I've debated about the importance of how to say this. So, how many of y'all remember going to Bible school for 2 weeks?
Yeah.
And it was in the daytime. Yeah. Yeah. I remember that too. How many of you remember being sent to multiple Bible schools through the summer so your mother could just send you to Bible school? Right. Okay. Well, we have an exciting opportunity on August the 4th. Circle that on your calendar. That's the beginning of our Bible school. It's ROAR. R-O-A-R. What do you think that might be about? What, Luke? What roars, Luke?
Lions.
Right. We're going to be studying about how God is good, and it's going to be thematic around the African Sahara and the African region. So that will be most exciting. Thank you, Luke, for your help. Bible school is very important. In the days that kids come, and adults, because it's a multi-age Bible school, that week-long experience is equivalent to about 4 months of Sunday school. Sunday school is how you get your bedrock, how you understand who God is in your life, how you understand to extrapolate those lessons into everyday life. Sunday school is imperative if we are to grow in our belief and understanding. So every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, we have Sunday school. We have a group of very dedicated teachers who come and prepare, and I appreciate all the wonderful things they've brought to our education. Next Sunday is the last Sunday of our regular Sunday school season. The first Sunday of June, everybody at 9 o'clock will meet in the fellowship hall, and we will begin our summer Sunday school season. Our summer Sunday school season will be about the questions asked to Jesus. So you guys need to start thinking about what kind of questions you would ask. If you were able to sit down in a group with Jesus and have an opportunity, what would you ask Jesus? What are you curious about? Because that's what we're going to be studying this summer. Every first Sunday, we'll gather together in the fellowship hall, and then the other Sundays, the adults will be in the fellowship hall, and the younger crowds will be elsewhere. So mark summer Sunday school. It's casual, except you can't wear your jammers. And mark August the 4th for ROAR.
Thank you, Sheila. And let us engage in that study as we get ready for the Sahara. Let us continue in our worship and receiving our gifts and offerings for God. Gracious God, grant us the humility and strength to follow your call wherever it may lead, whether close to home or on distant shores. Amen. Now the work of worship begins. Let us go out into this world. Let us go out into this beautiful day. Let us go out into this Sabbath time of rest, knowing that we have felt the presence of the Holy Spirit, knowing that we are the ambassadors of God's peacefulness, knowing that we are the body of Christ in this time and place. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the fellowship of this Holy Communion, and the love of God go with us now. Amen.